And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October 25th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 43. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Dennis.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat as well as on Facebook. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. We're streaming the camera right now through Twitch TV. Head over to twitch.tv, search for InGameChat. You can find us there. And join us in the chat room along with some other listeners as well, live while we broadcast. And talk to them, talk to us, and just enjoy the show. We appreciate it. We're going to be talking with Leonard Wieland. We talked to him last week, but he's going to be calling in because the Extra Life gaming event is going on right now in Prattville. I think it may be over with, but they said they were going to go until, you know, everybody was done playing. So it still could be going on, but we'll talk with him in about 30 minutes or so. And also, a big show note. We're going to repeat this quite a lot so that we can make sure everybody knows this. Nathan's going to be putting it on Facebook. I'm going to be putting it up on Twitter. And we're going to be saying it over and over and over again. We are changing times beginning the 15th of November. So Saturday, the 15th of November, you will be able to find us. Same station. We'll just be on 2 hours earlier. We'll start at 4 and we'll be done at 6. So we'll be on from 4 to 6 Central Time beginning November the 15th. So we'll just be keep telling you that so you guys know it and so that you won't miss an episode. Of course, if you do, as always, it'll probably be a lot like it is now. We'll get a couple people showing in. Is it over with already? Has it started yet? Is what they'll be saying.
It's a lovely birthday present for me.
Oh, okay. You weren't here. That is Dennis, by the way.
Yes.
You weren't here last week. Where were you?
I was up in Killen.
You were doing a haunted house type stuff, weren't you?
Doing haunted house things up in Killen, Alabama.
Yeah.
Up near Muscle Shoals.
Apt name for a haunted house, for a location for a haunted house.
Yes.
Killen?
Killen.
All right. Well, let's start with what we've all been doing as the week has gone on. I have put a lot less time into Destiny and a lot more time into Shadow of Mordor. And I'm okay with that. We did the hard mode on the Vault of Glass in Destiny, the raid.
Isn't there something about being able to cheese the boss of that raid?
We cheesed it, yeah.
We did.
They haven't plugged
that hole
yet.
It's like knocking down a cliff or something.
Yeah. And, yeah. We haven't plugged that hole yet. Or they haven't plugged that hole yet, but it's coming. So anyway, did it, got the trophy, and I haven't that was on Tuesday. I didn't play it Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I got on a little bit this morning and did a few runs of some of the little daily bounties, and then that was it. Got ready and came into the studio. I may pop back in again on Tuesday and run another raid, since you can only run it once a week, and see if I can get some more gear. And then if I don't, then that'll be it. And even if I do, that'll kind of be it for the week until, you know, the next time I can do it again. So... but Shadow of Mordor, really, really liking the way that's going. That character, Ratbag, I really like him. I'm not sure how they I'd like to look that up, but they got that Uncharted thing going on where the character's movements and the lip syncing and the voice acting are really well in sync and just very fluid and nice looking.
Yeah, I really liked the whole voice acting, you know, they did with that game. All the orcs and everything. It's
really good, especially between, and I don't even know what the main character's name is.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't think of it.
We'll just call him Shadow. Between
Talion?
Is that it? Yeah. Is that the main character's name?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Talion.
That between Ratbag and Talion, the back and forth between them is very good. In the cutscenes and stuff. So I'm really, really enjoying that and progressing the story. So that's a lot of fun. I opened up the Vendetta system. That was really nice. I didn't know anything about that until it said, hey, you've unlocked the Vendetta system. And I was like, okay, I don't know what this is, but I put my cursor over it. It's like, you can avenge Lavos's death from the hands of, if you go and, you know, you kill this guy who killed Lavos. That's a really cool concept. I like that. So I've avenged him once. He's got another guy out there that killed him. So
I gotta tell you, I keep bouncing off of that game. I've dipped into it a couple of times. I'm not enjoying the early parts of that game.
Mm.
I think they did a poor job of not discovery, not introduction necessarily, although I think that they did do a pretty poor job of the introduction. I had a better picture in my mind of what the first hours of that game would look like. And it felt very rushed to me. It felt inelegant. And in a game that is has hallmarks of, you know, the detailed brushstrokes of really, really good scripting, really fun naming conventions, really good attention to not stepping on the toes of the lore, all of these other fine finish touches, and the narrative in the introduction didn't work for me very well, you know, and it didn't feel very comfortable to me, and I feel like maybe above all there are too many systems at work in the game. Do you know what I mean? It's too much going on. I think there is more going on than needs to be going on.
As far as like just an overall thing, like too many
functional gameplay systems and mechanics overlapping one another. It's a little more dense than I think it needs to be. I think it actually needs to be. It's a very complicated game laid on top of an incredibly simple combat mechanic. And I don't know. I didn't like it a lot. I'm a little disappointed that I haven't enjoyed it more after, you know, just a couple of real hours spent playing it. And I don't have any, certainly not upset at the game, but it really feels choked with good ideas. As if someone somewhere was given the green light to put every good idea that they had on paper into the same game. Possibly out of fear that none of them would ever make it into another game. It's just, I don't know. At this moment, it feels like, you know, 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag, basically. And I feel like it's just, I feel like a more stately, a more kind of organized, maybe information-rich introduction sequence. And I am not one for long tutorial sequences. I'm really not. I don't like overwrought tutorials. I just feel like I could have been eased into the situation a little bit better.
Yeah, I will say it was slightly confusing when I first started playing because of what I knew where I needed to go, what the purpose was, and I don't want to be, you know, hand-walked through it.
Right.
But I don't want to be just completely confused on what exactly where I needed to go. But, I mean, once I figured it out, then I was like, okay, now I got all this works.
And it in my mind, I found myself, like, I pushed back from the game a couple of times and walked away from it, and I tried to figure out what my problem was exactly, how I could explain, even to myself, like, what I'm not really liking about it. Because I have a sense that once I'm fine with everything, once I'm thoroughly comfortable with it, I will very much enjoy. It'll be a rich dish, you know? But in my mind, I was comparing it to
Assassin's Creed?
No. Nothing that easy. For obvious reasons, Raziel.
Soul Reaver.
Soul Reaver, yeah. Mm. I was comparing it to Soul Reaver, which had, again, well,
as it a wraith world and a real world and a
right. You know. It's about a character in a flash, in an instant, having to come to terms with his own death and a completely alien situation.
Yeah.
And granted, it's one of the greatest games ever made. So almost anything is going to fail by comparison. But I started thinking about how good a job they did placing you into Nosgoth, which had a fairly deep lore by that point. Not Lord of the Rings lore, but it's not Middle Earth.
You had everything from Blood Omen.
Right, but which an enormous number of people would never have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to establish that, yes, there is a lore-rich world, and there are rules, and there are characters who are going to be what they're going to be. And we don't have time to really talk about that. We have to get your wings ripped off. You're going to lose your jaw. You're going to wake up, going to be blue at the bottom of the something. And like this creepy elder god's going to be talking to you and running you around. And we got to get into the mix. You got to get going. It's got to happen. And somehow it felt much more self-aware, you know? I don't want to draw out the first 2 hours of this game and, like, absolutely complain about it as a total package. But I am just saying, I was very much looking forward to it. I was really excited by you know, both my own expectations and what I heard from other people. But the first couple hours, I'm just like, you know, I hate this word, but it's a little clunky. The introduction was clunky, and I did not like it. On top of, again, a combat sequence where I can just almost mindlessly mash a button and win. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's those... I don't know.
I've had some close calls on that.
I'm not saying you can't get into trouble, man. I'm saying that there is no... The weight of the game system
and
are
I'm not
matched
attacking
by...
attacking what you said. Just letting you know that...
But, I mean, you're moving to a comparison of some other situation that has nothing to do with the point I'm trying to make, which is that the basic combat mechanics of all the systems in the game are the one thing that don't seem to have an incredible amount of depth to them. Or weight to them, I guess.
Maybe the weight. I realized that it kind of walked you through, like, you have to do this, you have to do this, and it was really piling on the, we're only going to show you this once, so hope you remember it the next time it comes about. And
right.
I kept forgetting everything. I just knew stab and counter. And then I was like, okay, wait a second. How do I interrogate? They showed me that. I've forgotten how to do that.
I kept having the issue of...
It's like, well, you got to grab them. I can't remember how to grab them. And so, you know...
Oh,
and there is a tutorial-like section that you can go to and read how to do stuff.
Yeah.
I can almost remember that it does not cover the interrogation system. The interrogation system's covered under the grapple system, but if you didn't know you had to grapple them to begin with, you wouldn't be looking there.
Yeah.
I was just going through trying to find out. Eventually, obviously, playing it over and over and over again, I've figured out that aspect. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I kept forgetting how to kill them when they were on the ground. That was my issue.
I did too at the beginning, and again, but there's a thing called, you know, the, not stealth kills, but whatever it is, finishing kills.
Yeah.
There's a section for that, and it's like, you know, just hold right trigger, tap X.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there you go. Great. My other complaint is camera gets in the way sometimes. Camera has some issues to...
Camera is largely composed of issues.
Yes.
It is too close to the... I know that I can always get past it, but every time I play a third-person game, I can tell you immediately. Like, I just want to grab the camera in my right hand, push Tally in with my left hand, and just pull it back about another 20%.
Remember, I said that the very first
week. You did,
and
you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Too close at the beginning.
And I know I can work through it. I felt the same way about Dead Space for pretty much the entire time.
See, I like that being close because it's...
I don't like it being close because I get it. You're proud of your dude, right? Like, you're proud of the character and you want me looking at the character all the time.
In Dead Space, it's also, that's where your meters are.
Yeah, I mean, fine, man, that's fine. But the game is beyond that. The game is out there. And if I feel uncomfortable with the relationship between me, my character, the game world, all of that stuff, it's just, like, I'm not blind, man. I can still see the giant glowing thing on Isaac's back if he were just a little bit further away from the camera.
Well, I think in games like that, Dead Space or another one, Resident Evil, the closest adds to the suspense, you know, from behind getting snuck up on or things coming out from the side or anything like that.
I'm not saying that there are not reasons to do it. I'm not saying that it is a mindless, pointless... I'm not saying that the developer somewhere is trying to do something horrible to me or that he is incompetent. I am saying that all things taken as a whole, I have a much better time with more space between me and the... I have a limited amount of screen real estate. Mm-hmm. And there is a certain percentage, I feel like, probably a natural portion of the game screen that I think if your character's taken up, like, too much of that, like, I don't know. I'm experiencing discomfort. And so at that point, by the time, like, the super cool, amazing thing that's supposed to be enhanced by the nature of the relationship between the camera and the character, I'm annoyed, right? I'm fighting my own annoyance. And I think, and again, it's my preference. It's not everybody's preference. But when I'm fighting my annoyance, I'm not enjoying the game. That's a part of my experience that's being, you know, it's draining gas. It's stealing energy from me and my ability to enjoy it. Mm. Again, if it was how games ought to be, there'd be options.
Options.
Yeah.
So
I was about to mention have an option up close or zoom out a little bit or something like that. But some games surprisingly don't care.
I can get it with what you're saying about the tension, Resident Evil being close and stuff like that. That's fine. But when this has nothing of that sort, I don't see why you can't have that option in the game. The other complaint that I'll have is the or that I do have is the unlocking system, the way that you can unlock stuff. It feels like the entire, what it looks like is that the entire story is going to be a giant tutorial, because a lot of your abilities do not unlock unless you do story missions. And at that point, that's when you unlock them, and they tell you this is how you use this ability for further use. Well, one of the ones that I really want to use, the branding, is like way into the thing. It's like, well, I could really use that right now. How come I can't? How come they can't introduce those? Obviously, like your complaint, they don't want to pile it on. Maybe
further, I guess.
Right? Yeah, is that all at one time? But
my other issue with that type of system is when you actually get it, and if it's towards the end of the game, you don't get to use it that much.
That was my problem with Infamous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
It's like I had done everything, and when I went to the final boss, which would give me that final boss's power, I was done with the game. I had nothing to use it on.
Yep.
It was ridiculous. So yeah, that's kind of my thing. However, this is open world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't done much of the side stuff yet, because I remember one of the tips that you gave and some people in the chat room gave was like, do that story first so you can unlock all that stuff, then go back and take care of everything else.
Or do them, get a good amount of skill, and then go back and start doing it. I'm just saying, don't do them right away, because you get your butt kicked.
Yeah, right now all I really enjoy doing is unlocking Karagors in their cage. Stand up the tower, unlock Karagors, and just watch them go nuts with everything else. Occasionally ride. This is what I'll do. When I need to get somewhere far away, I just ride a Karagor all the way over there.
Yep.
And I have no problem. Run into no issue. But so, yeah, that's me. I've been enjoying that. What have you been playing, Nathan?
Well, Blizzard sent out a 7-day free trial to try out the new patch for World of Warcraft. So I was trying that last night just to see how that
worked. You were already up to Mists of Pandaria, right?
Yes.
Had already purchased that.
Yeah.
Did we bring this up last week that, like, as of the release of the patch, Mist of Pandaria is added into Blizzard's battle chest.
It's like $20. You get everything else in Mist.
The battle chest is the basic game and all expansions. It is always the basic game and all expansions, not including the most recent expansion in play. So currently, if anybody out there has interest and has not played it, which is probably a sum total of zero people. Or if you haven't played it in forever and you're looking for something, I don't know. You can get the basic game all the way up through and including Mists of Pandaria for $20.
And a month of WoW.
And that comes with a month of playtime as well. It's nice. It's a nice shortcut through the exorbitant cost of buying all the expansions.
The battle chest, you mean?
The battle chest is, yes.
But yeah, so I've been trying that, messing with the new settings and, actually, it's the first time I've played it on my new computer, so I could see, hitting 100 FPS, and WoW, it's always pretty nice. So.
Yeah.
Even when you're in, the main city. I play on Mal'Ganis, so that server's, when you're in the main city, you're talking about 100 people in the main city just sitting
there.
Well,
for what it's worth anymore, there are really not going to be any, there aren't going to be any more cities that aren't absolutely chock full because of the realm overlaps with the zone sharing system and the connected realms for the smaller realms, stuff like that.
But in a server like Mal'Ganis, you'll see less of that because it's actually people.
Right, but the sum total. For example, I have a character that's on an absolutely corpse cold dead server, and that's been really hard for a long time. But once they did the realm connections and everything, and a lot of the active cross realm zones, I can go into Stormwind on that character and have the same experience I used to have on Stormrage, which was for Alliance, what Mal'Ganis is for Horde. But it's very nice. It's absolutely a wonderful change because they've essentially they've built themselves for the most part right out of server transfer costs. There's just no why bother, right? There's essentially nothing you can't do with people on any other server anywhere.
Which that cost is too high anyways. But anyways, that's a whole other topic. So I had played that, and then been playing Warcraft. Never played through those, so that I've been enjoying that. If I have a few minutes at work, I can pop on it, And other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Battlefield 4 as well with their new patch. It's a lot smoother now. Mm. If you haven't tried it since then, but other than that, that's about it.
Dennis,
I haven't actually.
Oh,
No, I was going to ask, what was
the patch?
Battlefield Cops and Robbers. When is that?
Hardline.
Yeah. When is that now? Is that like...
They bumped that to February, didn't they?
Is it February? Yeah. I wish they'd bump it to Nevermind. I mean, seriously, bump it to Nevermind, and go to like a 2-year support system.
Did they get in some trouble with Payday? Did they get the Payday guys? Didn't, or did...
Yeah, there was something with that. I never looked into that. I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, right, when we're looking at Battlefield 4, we're looking at the very real chance that trying to push a game like this every single year is going to result in a launch every single year like what we saw with Battlefield 4. And having a longer support cycle would probably give people more of a reason to really believe in your game.
Yeah.
When you go the first 6 months in a game like Battlefield 4 and it's still a hot mess, you just walk away. Because I know that by the time you fix it, by the time you've completed your expansion release cycle, you're already going to be trying to pivot to the next game. And here we go again. Not only have you divided the population based on people who have patience for your crap and people who don't, you divide it further every time you release an expansion pack. Then you divide it even further amongst the people who are willing to go to your next game and those who are not. It's nothing but... I mean,
the thing is, with Battlefield and that whole situation, it's nothing new. This has been going on since 2000.
That's why I'm complaining about it. I've played every one of them since 2000.
But that's even worse that they have not changed that whole...
But the nature of what they've been doing has been getting worse. They're not being very dynamic about it. It's like they've already decided well in advance, but they can't deliver a product that's stable enough to just... If it had been rock solid from day one, or at least from like week one, right? I'll give them a little bit of... I'll give them some fair room to play. But I could then think, I can get a solid year out of this. This can be my game for the next year. And that's really cool. But when you spend half of that time... wondering when are you going to get it together? When are you going to fix your problems?
Yep. It took them over a year.
Yeah. You really, really start doing an enormous amount of damage to your brand and my willingness to play something that was already the only thing close enough to what I really wanted to be playing.
For most people, they literally paid $60 for a beta.
Yeah.
An alpha-ish beta.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's officially out.
It's frustrating. I mean, I'm glad that it's there.
Yeah,
I own it. There's no reason not to go back to it.
I only paid $15 for it, so
I don't know. I should keep an eye out for when the premium drops in price and I can pick it up at a cheap. That's what I did for 3. So I got nothing against it. I'm just saying, I think it would be better for all parties involved. Not the short, quick money, right? Not the per annum type of money that they're always looking at, but like, give it some legs, man. Give it some legs by giving it a little more room to breathe. Give it more than 10 months before you're trying to get people to move on to your next product.
Yeah.
Give it a life. You're monetizing it beyond what is reasonable as it is. You should at least let the thing live and breathe so that, you know, it has time to regenerate. The stone needs to regenerate some more blood before you can squeeze it out. Right? It doesn't make any sense.
They're not
sense
waiting.
To me.
It just keeps.
No, they're not. It's silly to me, and it's not even good business, in my opinion. It's short money. It's not long money. But this industry isn't designed around understanding something that has legs anyway.
I believe we talked about that when they announced it. Not Hardline, but when they,
Well, because we were probably stuck in the same sort of cycle with 3.
Right, exactly. Dennis, what have you been doing?
I've been playing the Wait Until Binding of Isaac Rebirth comes out. Play some more Resident Evil 6.
Is there any way you could grab a loop of that recording
just and just
play?
That's all you
week.
Need is just the little button saying waiting for Binding of Isaac Rebirth. You only need it for another 2 weeks, though. But been playing some Resident Evil 6 again. I got up to the point where all the criticism that people have for that game plays out, where you're fighting against the dudes with guns instead of zombies.
Right.
And man, it is such a dog when it comes to that. It is terrible. Horrible. I just want to play through Leon's chapter because that's Resident Evil. This is like, you're fighting against like bug-eyed guys with guns.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, and I guess it'd be fine if it was actually decent at being kind of that third-person shooting game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's, you take a few bullets, you get knocked down, it takes you 10 seconds to get back up. And then you take another hit down. It's not quite like Stunlock, like something in like Force Unleashed or anything.
Right.
But just
I don't like that. It's just I really don't like it. I don't like I don't like perma knockdown. I don't like stun locks.
Yeah,
I really don't like that sort of stuff.
It's just not fun to play.
No, it isn't
at all. I'll just play through Leon's chapter again and again because that's actually kind of fun.
You got a Wii U? Any interest in Bayonetta? It came out on Friday, I believe.
I'm actually looking at Bayonetta 2. I think it comes with the
original Bayonetta.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested. I'm also interested in Smash Brothers.
That was my next question.
Because they put out the 50 things you didn't know you want to know about Smash Brothers on the Wii U, and just looking at all that and seeing that 8 players and everything, it's like, that's really kind of interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if GT South needs to get in on that.
They did mention that they were gearing up for having the 8-player Smash Brothers thing going on.
I'm guessing that's 8-player local and online?
Local only.
Oh, local only.
Yeah, it's 8 players local. You still have online, but only up to 4 players,
okay,
I believe.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But yeah, 8 players local. It was like you have to have certain stages just cannot handle 8 players at once.
Right, right.
And, man, just looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. James, what about you?
Wow.
Just wow.
Mostly patch.
Okay.
Tidying up my...
When does that
laundry
hit?
November
13th. Okay.
Yeah. Just nothing that matters much. Old mount runs, old achievement runs, old title runs, old transmog runs. Playing around my characters, trying to get accustomed to the changes that have been made on all of them, because I have at least one of every class.
Yeah.
So.
Are they doing any kind of like a story build-up to Warlords in there?
No, not really.
Okay.
They had a little... They had a quest, something that explained nothing and stole 10 minutes of your time, and just it did nothing. It did absolutely nothing. They neutered half of one of the dungeons that's going to be a staple level 100 dungeon, downgraded it to level 90, made it drop essentially no loot, and then told you, go do this. This is your event. Right? Yeah. A 5-part quest where we destroy some stuff that you always liked. And then go run a dungeon that's basically not representative at all of what it will be. So it's pointless. Mostly the game right now is complaining about how you hate your character's new animations.
Hmm. That doesn't sound like a fun game at all.
It's all right. You know, like I said, transmog runs, going back and getting gear that looks cool so that you can have the gear that works well look cool.
Yeah, because we
like a die system or something like that. You can have your gear look like any other piece of gear that you own.
Hmm. Yeah,
people run.
Interesting because we were talking about this earlier this week, where the appearance is actually something that has value in that game now. It's not just a stat based thing.
Right, right. And it was something that they avoided for a really long time. Armor dies or customization of your armor or outfit or anything like that were something the game stayed very far away from. But the transmogrification system is fun. I think it takes a little bit of the weight off of the artistic team to not have to worry so very much about creating iconic pieces of gear. Because as a paladin, I'm always going to be running around either in a full set of tier 2, tier 4, or tier 6. So everything I have is always going to be transmogged into one of those more classic sets because they were great.
What about RJ, anything for you?
Well, I haven't done too much gaming this week. I was more looking at the World Series going on. But what I did play was a little bit of Phantasy Star Online 2, played a little bit of that. Also played a little bit of Streets of Rage Remake, that fan-made game they put out on the PC.
Yeah, that was when they, didn't Sega shut that one down?
Sega tried to shut it down after they made so much progress and made the final version, and by that time... It was too late. Everybody had it. And then when they did make the announcement that we want to shut it down, that made more interesting. Yeah, a lot of people brought it out then.
Yeah, didn't the developers actually like kind of have clearance to be like, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they, I think they did.
And then it wasn't until later they were like, no.
Because they tried to put their game on other like Android and other apps and things like that and try to get it out there, try to make as much money as possible. So why do that when you have this well-made, I might add, fan game of Streets of Rage? And outside of that, I've been playing a little bit of Virtual Fighter 5. I think I may have angered some folks on Xbox this week.
You were just that good at it?
Well, not really. I mean, there's an aspect of Virtual Fighter where you're on the stage that has, it's a ring,
Yeah.
And you can be ring. It's called a ring out. If you push someone out of the ring, that's an instant loss for the character who gets character falls out the ring. It's a loss for them. So there were times when I was down on health. I mean, there was no way I was going to win this match unless I made a miracle comeback or I tossed someone out the ring. So I was arranging things to happen to where people would be tossed out the ring. And eventually got to the point where one person, the last match I had with him or her, threw him out the ring. And I tried to, you know, initiate another match with him. I just kept getting turned down over and over and over again. You know, and that happens in fighting games online or in tournaments, whatnot. You may get someone a little upset with you, and they just don't want to talk to you, don't want to see you for a while. But after a day or so, they'll get over and come back. That's the source of the hate mail I've ever gotten in Virtua Fighter. It always comes after a ring out. Someone gets some
particularly if you're like on the last sliver of life.
Yeah,
if
they're like they got the match won, they got the round of the bag, they think everything's going well for them. And all of a sudden, they get slung behind and thrown out the ring, and then I get the hate mail message, which means you're doing something right in the fighting game community.
Yeah.
Well, before we go to break here, because he's been on hold for about 5 minutes now, I'm going to put him on the line. We've got Leonard Wieland. Are you still at Quality Comics in Prattville?
Oh, hey, I didn't even know I was live.
Oh, you're live now, buddy. Yeah,
tweet. No. We broke down everything about 30 minutes ago and all that stuff. We finished up. We had a lot of gamers come out. We had a lot of kids come to support Children's of Alabama and Children's Miracle Network. So yeah, we did pretty good for ourselves today. And I want to thank you guys on in-game chat because you know, the last time I was on your guys' show, I think I told you it was like had about 78 people in our state signed up for Extra Life, and then they sent out the stats again about a week. Like a couple of days ago. And we ended up with 300 gamers in our state alone being nice. A part of this, along with the millions of other gamers across the country right now.
That is fantastic. Nice. That is great. What games did you have over there for people to play?
We were rocking some old school. To start with, we were doing some Duck Hunt, showing some of the young kids how to play that game, which was hilarious.
Which is like really close to the TV gun on the screen, right?
No, you'd be impressed. Some of these kids, man, they've been hunting with their daddy or something out in the woods and all that stuff, doing deer hunting and all that. So they're getting their shots spot on and all that stuff. So you'd be impressed. We also had some Minecraft going, some Forza. We saw Supergirl, Batman, I think Spider-Man and Sub-Zero playing some Rock Band, oddly enough, all together at one time. So that was pretty awesome.
What was the most popular game played out there?
I want to say the most popular game out there, and hopefully I know the video game industry listens to your guys' show, so we're going to see like a pool of these games coming out next, is Super Smash Brothers,
right,
and also Rock Band.
Okay.
Oddly enough, those were the two ones that everybody was really enjoying.
Well, I think it's great. When you get a final tally of the donations, we do.
Oh, I already got it for
you,
man.
Go ahead.
So you ready?
Yes. I don't have a drum. Do I have a drum roll and all this stuff?
I know. I'm terrible.
I don't know. There's like a ton. I don't know. Go ahead. We'll
okay.
see.
As
oh, wait. Here it is.
Right now,
there it is. I got one.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. As of right now, we raised for our Children's Miracle Network. Again, I'm just one gamer of the 300 that are in our state this time around. $1,619 and some change.
Well, that is fantastic, man. Congratulations.
And then, like I said, it was that basic idea of just hanging out with friends and playing video games, man. That was it. So, again, I got to thank you guys so much for letting us be a part of your guys' show and letting let all your viewers on Twitch and everybody who listens to you on News Talk know about what was going on.
We appreciate it, and we thank you for letting us know that this was even going on, man. I mean, we knew Extra Life was happening, we just didn't know anybody local was doing anything, and so it was great that you got in touch with us, and we were pleased to be a part of it in even just the smallest of ways. So so thanks for doing that, and then we'll be in touch with you next year, because we will do it again, and hopefully be able to contribute a whole lot more for you next year. So
hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Get some rest, I guess, because I know you've been working on this for a good few months now, just nonstop. So get some rest. Play some games. Go play some games, and and relax. And we'll talk to you again, man.
All Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much. That was Leonard Wieland. He was doing the Extra Life here locally. It was downtown Prattville at a place called Quality Comics. They did free comic book day today for this event as well, and they played games and raised money for Extra Life. So good job there for that. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will have more in-game chat in just a moment. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. The music we played going into break was from Batman on NES. Music we're playing right now is from EVE Online. Welcome back to the show. We're going to jump right into the phones. And we've got Zufu on the line right now. Hey, Zufu, what's up?
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to see if you guys had talked about the whole Hatred game. I missed a few episodes, so I'm not sure we talked about it before in the past.
We did not. When was that? Was that trailer this week or was that last week?
That was last week, I think.
I think it was last week.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that...
it was something I saw and I was like, I'm not going anywhere near this thing.
Yep.
I have no idea what to say about this game.
Yeah, and it even got worse as more
did
details...
Did it really? I completely... I did a 360 and walked away from it.
Like, the developer of that, they did some digging and found that he had liked a page on Facebook that was the... Oh, what was it? Do you remember?
Oh, I have no idea. This is all on you.
Actually, I think it was some sort of, like, hate or something weird, something bad, something not really reputable. They found that he liked it, and it didn't help his cause, sort of.
Right. He defended it as saying that he was just interested in what they were talking about because it was news or something like that. He didn't defend it as like, no, there's nothing to be wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with whatever that group was. There was clearly something wrong with that group, and he was trying to defend his reasons for liking their page on Facebook.
Is there honestly, and again, because I saw it and I was like, I have, for the past like week or whatever, I've had very limited bandwidth. So I was like, this is not going in my stuff today. Is there any room here for this to be irony? Or satire? Like, I mean, that is an honest question, as people who have paid more attention to it than I have.
As far as I read about it, I don't think so. The developer, like the main person of that company, seems really adamant, and he's very standoffish in the way he replies back to criticism. So I don't think this is some sort of, like, game or some sort of attempt to get, you know, exposure. Maybe a little bit of it is just for the shock value to kind of, you know...
Put yeah, it doesn't feel like a thing that they would have submitted to Jack Thompson and said, this is what... This like somebody like kind of being a little serious about
right
being that being the violence thing, and it's like just kind of ugh.
This is not like this is this is no
the Facebook page was a Polish anti-Islamic organization.
Yeah, that was
another
that
thing
was,
I'm not going anywhere near.
Yeah,
I'm not turning down that road at all. I'm just going to drive right past.
I think I'm going to pick one of the other millions of games I can choose from.
This is a hot poker, man.
Yeah.
Like, what do you... Because, I mean, I did watch the trailer.
Yeah, I did too.
And I was like, this is... Either I have gotten completely dense in my old age, or there's nothing subtle here. This is a red-hot poker, and he's just trying to, I don't know, make the cat jump, you know? It just... It looks like... aggravation is what it looks like, and I just I don't know, there's too much stuff of, I mean, I'm not saying it's not worth discussing like what this means, because it's going to slot right in between bad thing A and bad thing F, you know, like where we are in the spectrum of stuff right now. It's got a place, should anybody choose to really, really talk about it. But I've realized that I am incapable, I think, of saying the right thing about something like this. I'm loath to ever look at something like this and be like, it just simply should not exist. You know, I don't know if anybody else is that way, right? I can't stand in defense of it necessarily.
Right.
I would hate to see what I did if I tried, but I'm also like, it's distasteful to me to point at something of this nature, something creative, something made of any type, and be like, absolutely should not exist. It's distasteful to me. So I usually remain silent on the subject. I don't know. What do you think?
That was my next question. What do you think, Sufu?
For me, I think it was one of the rare moments where like my jaw actually hanged open during the trade. I'm like, wait, where's the storyline? Like, what's the point?
Yeah, where's the punchline?
It's like, no, this is the game. And when I realized that, I'm like, the incoming hatred that's going to come in, and also because I realized there's actually a group of people who will defend games no matter what. And I've seen them post on the topic talking about how he has every right to make this game, and I look forward to trying it out. And I think it's just, it creates this real dichotomy of like, either you're really for this game or you're not. There's no way to be kind of lukewarm about it.
Right. And it's funny because dichotomies aren't even, they're just not things, man. The idea that things have two sides, that they have two extremes, and that's exactly how they should be represented, is one of the worst things we have to deal with. They're not, you know, most things have like eight sides or seven or three or something, but it's rare that it's like you're either totally pro this or totally anti this. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not those two things. Where am I? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's very strange. Like I said, I don't know that I could defend it. I might could get creative enough to do it.
I like W. Matthew. It has a right to exist, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about where I'm at. It's like, sure, put out a game, but man, I never, ever want to touch it.
I mean, I'm assuming, of course, that there's no advocacy, right? That you couldn't look at it and legitimately think that this is incitement or advocacy, in which case I would believe you could make a legal challenge against its existence.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't looked that closely at it. I was delivered no punchline whatsoever. It didn't even pretend to historical legitimacy like the one where you shoot Kennedy.
Right.
That silly game from, like, what was it, like 6 years ago or something, where you're in the school book depository. I was like, okay, you at least came up with a tidy little explanation for why you did this. And it's a throwaway project anyway. This looks like... this is something that I would back very slowly away from and not take my eye off of it. It's very, I mean, and for that reason, of course, is obviously very interesting. But I had totally forgotten about it until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And, like, I know with the time of what's going on now, especially what's going on in the recent media with these shootings and things, it's like, it's so inappropriate to actually have something like that out now. And I'm sure Fox News will jump on this and say, you see, this is what games are teaching. And in this case, we'll have a legitimate point. Like, there's no real point to this game except just to harm innocent people, which is inexcusable. So,
right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
No, basically, we're giving them that kind of ammunition to basically fire back at us. And then we wonder why the media is like, I don't see the benefit of this game, really.
Yeah, it's.
Now, not to get on the side of that game as well, but is, you talk about Fox News jumping on this or any news organization jumping on this. Didn't they also do this with like Grand Theft Auto though? I'm thinking of Jack Thompson really. But didn't they also jump on this as like a killing simulator type situation? Didn't they jump on Grand Theft Auto for that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did, and some people made that argument. Like, what happened to this game is nothing different than what you can do in hundreds of games that have
right.
been out.
Right, I'd read that. I'd read comparisons to, like, it's Postal-ish or Postal-like. I actually never played Postal.
I mean, distasteful or not, without the humor, without it being tongue-in-cheek or wry or something. I mean, they have always jumped on everything. Mass Effect was called a rape simulator.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. The problem is you could always, under any circumstances, point to this, point to their discussion and their critique of it, and say, unquestionably, they are out of their depth and they are lacking context that they are, or possibly working extra hard to find and eliminate and isolate a flaw in the game. That's why I led with the question, is there any chance that Hatred could be taken as satire? Because from what I see, there is no way to take it out of context. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any context. It is everything it appears to be.
Yeah, I'll say, you'd have to put in that extra effort to make it look like a satire.
Right, now you have to do the work
to
make excuses for it. In every other circumstance, whether it's GTA, whether it's Postal, whether it's... I don't know.
I was thinking Manhunt.
Any of that stuff, it is contextualized. And it's not even like, well, if you think about it like this, it's better. It's like, no, the game is more than what you've seen and more than what you've claimed. But I don't know about this guy. And again, whether or not he should have put it out into the world is like, that's a tough question to answer. The worst problem we face right now is a crisis of identity. Right, I never thought to identify myself or the industry. It's just games, man. It's a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a huge spectrum. But there are forces in the world right now, the wider world, that's very curious about what's happening with us and with gaming in general. And they need, because they have no context for gaming, they need to identify it. They need to compartmentalize it, and they need to give it a name.
And they will go for the simplest answer they can.
And that I can't even tell them that they are wrong. They don't have, again, the bandwidth to understand everything that one must understand.
Yeah, with everyone that they picked up, or with everyone that you've pointed out, GTA, Mass Effect 3, you could stand in front of that with a defense.
Right, but you wouldn't have to make anything up. It's just like,
right.
No.
I don't understand that.
You need to know more. In this, it's like...
Let me get out of the way.
So can we talk about GTA?
Yeah, really.
Could we please talk about
Mortal
GTA?
Kombat,
right.
Okay?
I suppose for that reason, it's a really interesting litmus test of like where we are as a collective group of people, like how we're going to respond. Not that we are a single collective group of people ever.
And I just remember that since the game is made in Unreal Engine 4, Epic actually told them to take off their logo at the beginning of their game.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I remember reading that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, everyone's separating themselves as much as they can from this
right,
game.
Right, give this guy value. Give this guy plenty of space. Make sure that everybody knows that he is an island unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
And just shine a spotlight on it and be like, there you go, buddy. There you go. Here's your attention. This is what you wanted.
This is yours.
We're not with that
hope
guy.
Hope it is everything you wanted.
I suppose it's about the best outcome. It's not even the one that I would have most hoped for. I would have just most hoped that everybody would like roll their eyes and be like, this guy, let's get on with life. But that's not what happens right now. This guy's going to catch an updraft and get some attention.
Do you remember Call of Duty scene in the airport?
No Russian. But again, you could contextualize it. It was a bit of a... You had to, like, do some contortion.
And if I remember correctly, the developers gave you the option to skip that.
They patched it. Later on, they added it to where you could...
Yeah, there's like they gave you the ability to skip that. But this game seems like it is...
Which I'm pretty sure most people just kept replaying.
A full-length, no Russian.
It wasn't even... You know what? It wasn't even
without
fun.
Context.
It wasn't even good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, there you go. That's my part.
And one thing I noticed also is the game itself actually has pretty high production value for an indie game. And I think if it was just another 8-bit shooter with like little black pixels coming out of a gun, it wouldn't have picked up as much steam. But the fact that you actually are like murdering innocent people, and this game is pretty graphic, and because of the production value, people are seeing this, it's instantly like making people like recoil in horror. So I think that only makes it more of an issue, like people are actually seeing the trailer and they're like, what is the purpose of this?
Yeah, the presentation is contemporary and it's relevant and it looks like something, human readable, right? Like anybody, whether they play games or not, can look at it and divine what it's about. Mm-hmm. The older 8-bit sort of stuff can be a little bit difficult to put your mind to if you're not familiar with what gaming actually is. It's a bit of a barrier between gaming and the wider world that doesn't have any exposure to it. But something like this, something with this level of verisimilitude or realism or however you want to say it, is goes like right to the right to the shock, right to the nerve of other people. And it's just, if nothing else was going on right now, if nothing else were happening, it would just be another day. But it's like, now you're doing this now. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. What do you got next?
W. Matthew brings up movies had this stuff like this before. Does anybody remember the film Saw? The only thing I can put into any kind of perspective on that is that in movies you watch something and in games you do something.
You have agency in a game.
Yeah.
It requires your input.
Yeah.
This changes the relationship between the... You're not a passive viewer. You're
right.
you're a participant.
Yeah.
And I think that's the boundary that makes people uncomfortable. But
what I think about the whole thing is what James said maybe last week's episode about how, you know, back then the social thing was the arcade. I think maybe it was Scott that brought it up. Like, you know, that was the whole aspect of it. I think games have permeated through the culture so much. I'm not sure if you guys saw, like, the whole PewDiePie video where he was, like, actually out somewhere and, like, huge crowds of kids yelling and screaming after him. Like, he's a celebrity, like,
yeah,
a bona fide celebrity. So games have kind of permeated to the mainstream, and now you have everyone has an opinion, and, like, there's the whole Gamergate thing. So there's good in the fact that games are more popular, but also everyone's part of it now. So you kind of have to take everything, the good with the bad, I guess.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. The best thing we can be is... good ambassadors, good stewards, good representatives of the thing we like. That's the best we can hope for. And to prove that not all elements, not all people are of the same element in gaming, I suppose.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Zufu. We appreciate it. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number is 334-272-9228. Want to thank everybody in the chat room right now. AC Wraith, Arioka, Build 195, Lavos, Finger Death Punch, Multile, Nabokov Fan, glad to see you back in there. STM Fuller, Tactus 59, Tameric, TYTDL, Uncle Elias, W. Matthew, Wolf 2554, and Zufu hanging out in the chat room. We really appreciate it. We have got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat in just a moment. Here is music from Fez. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, music from Forza 3. If you'd like to give us a call, you can, 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. You'll be on the radio, you'll be on the stream, and then you'll be on the podcast, then you'll be on the YouTube, you'll be all over the place. Give us a call. Just another show note, like I said, we're going to be drilling this as often as possible. Beginning November the 15th, we are changing our times. We're going to be on from 4 until 6 beginning November 15th.
Central, U.S. Central
yes.
time.
4 to 6 U.S. Central time beginning November the 15th. So keep that in mind. Mark it on the calendars. Change your dates, because I know you guys keep this in your calendar for whenever we're on. I know it happens. I just got a notification, but it wasn't about us. So anyway, yes, so please keep that in mind. We're going to be making that switch. We're not exactly sure why we picked 6 o'clock to begin with when we started doing this. James and I couldn't remember why.
No, we couldn't agree about why. I had an idea, and you were like, nah, I'm going to be it. But I think that that was it. I think that you had a specific... I think it was because we were rolling the dice to see if we were going to get back on the air.
It was like,
and
let's
we wanted disruption of any sort, any inconvenience, any real or perceived, to be as minimal as possible.
That's true,
because of the nature of our hiatus, we were very compliant with whatever anybody wanted. And we were very happy to be given the opportunity, but because part of our pitch was like, we'll just slot right in here because there's already a natural kind of hole in the schedule.
Yeah,
and there was at that point in time,
sense.
About 2 years ago.
Lavos keeps asking what became of Science Fantastic. There is a show on before us called Clearing the Air. It is a local show, and we are just switching places with that show. Science Fantastic, I don't believe we air that anymore. I believe if that 4 to 6 time slot ever did become vacant again while we were still on from 6 to 8, you would hear it. But as we were saying, we really kind of like the idea of doing it 4 to 6, doing it, backing it up a little bit earlier. It gives us time to get in here and arrange the studio the way we need to arrange it to get set up with everything, and puts us on earlier and gets us out of here earlier instead of later. So anyway, that's going to happen November the 15th. We're backing up 2 hours. We're going to be on from 4 until 6 Central Time in the U.S. So thanks for, sticking around with us for the past year and a half that we've been on, or almost 2 years now at this time. And we're gonna switch it up. So anyway, what else has been going on? What has been talking about? Somebody asked a question about how that 8-player system worked in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it's going to be... The Wii U gamepad can be used, but only one at a time. Other people can use a Wii Remote or any of the various Wii controllers, either Wii or Wii U Pro controllers. Your 3DS can be used as well. I think you might need to have Smash Bros. 3DS in order for that to work. I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's just a whole lot of choice. And there's the GameCube adapter as well, which is... We'll take up each one comes with 4 slots, and it'll plug into 2 USB slots on the Wii U, which there are 4 total, so you can have 2 GameCube adapters and have 8 GameCube controllers plugged up.
Yeah, I was just about to ask how many ports are available on the Wii U to see how many controllers we hook on there, so that's how they're going to do the 8.
Yeah, because there isn't any kind of controller port on the Wii U. Original Wii had that for the GameCube controllers, since that was going from GameCube to Wii.
Right.
But, They're putting out a specific adapter for Smash Brothers Wii U, and putting out a new GameCube controller, essentially.
Mm, okay.
That is you're gonna be picking that up?
I might. It just depends on if I have the funds for it.
Right.
But I am interested in it. I still haven't played the 3DS one yet, which by all accounts everybody said is just excellent. I was talking to Star Stealer the other day, and he said he's been enjoying it. He says everybody is balanced, which was a very big problem with Brawl on the Wii, was that there were just specific characters just you could just win if you played them. Meta Knight,
typical fighting games, are usually always the first run of it. There's always someone who's so much better than the rest of the group. And
it was the Ice Climbers, wasn't it? That was the.
I think Ice. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe they were.
Yeah,
I'm
I don't.
Not sure.
I just know. I used to see them. I've
heard them talked about before. Though.
I saw them get used a lot in the tournaments.
Okay,
where they did that grapple thing, and it was just a
lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah, if they caught you in that grapple where they did the whatever it was, I can't remember how it goes, but you'd see the guy trying to do it, and you see the opponent like being very careful not to get caught into that trap.
Yeah,
because if they did the grapple, it was like a hit switch. Because there's two.
Yeah,
there's two of them. And then you just did that until they were gone.
You're stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was saying, there's, like I said, always someone who's overly powered compared to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if you give players enough time, they will find all the ways, the exploits of all this game, and then you have to patch it up or remake it and tweak things to make sure it's a little more even along the line. So I'd say give it a month or two. someone's going to find something to exploit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're always going to work out what tier everybody is. But mm-hmm. from what Star Sealer was saying, is they're all pretty well balanced against each other. Mm-hmm. Actually, question for you. Have you seen the Five Nights at Freddy's 2 trailer?
Yeah, I did see that. It's more animatronics, no doors.
Yeah, no doors.
There is no
what
protection.
Does that mean?
No
doors.
Okay. All right.
Five Other than no freeze. Doors, I mean.
Well, that's what it says, no doors. There's no little button to hit to knock the security doors down to keep someone from coming in.
Okay.
Apparently, you don't have that anymore. I think you have, from what the trails I looked at, you have a vent on the left-hand side, a vent on the right-hand side, and you have this huge hallway opening right in front of you. And there's nothing to hit a button that says closed doors. Like the only protection you have in two is putting on an empty Freddy Fazbear headgear on top of your head and try to fake like you're an animatronic, just not activated. That's the only protection you've got.
Yeah, because one thing, they mentioned this in the first game, I played a little bit of the other day, is mm-hmm. that the one of the explanations for their behavior is that they see you as like a animatronic outside of a suit. Problem is they're filled with bits of wire and metal, and so like you can get stuffed in there, but the only thing you'll ever see is like the sea of the light of day is your eyes and teeth.
If you listen to the phone message on the first night, he'll explain to you what will happen to you if you get caught by him, and it just gets progressively worse and worse as the days go by. Night four especially sticks in my memory because of what happens in the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but if you ever get the chance to play Five Nights at Freddy's, wait till you get to night four. If you can get to night four, that's real. That message will really get to
you. Yeah, because I've only gone through night one so far.
Yeah, night four is when it gets...
totally asking you what that message is the next break we have, so remind me. But, I'm not going to play... I'm not going to worry about being spoiled by that game.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, like I said, it's, all those open ways, then very little protection, more animatronics to look at, more cameras to look at, too. I think there was like 8 to 10 cameras to look at.
And it looked like you could actually switch on lights in the rooms you're looking at.
Yeah, there's lights in the room, lights in each room. Probably going to consume more power if you do it that way, though, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But more cameras to look at. I think there's like 12 to 14 cameras, going off of memory here from what I looked at in the trailer. But 12 to 14 cameras, more things to look at, more things to try to manage to get through the nights. And it's not going to be easy. From what I looked at, it is not going to be easy at all.
Yeah, the new animatronics, man, they look worse than the old ones.
Yeah, not we don't mean worse as
no,
it looks bad.
Like,
mean,
very
look,
creepy.
They look very creepy.
Because they're more like plasticine almost.
Well, yeah, I think there's one Bonnie, the character Bonnie, was the purple rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the face is gone. The upper portion of the face from like the lower jaw up.
Yeah, it looks like it's a mixture of like the old and the new and these new ones because in the trailer you see some like Bonnie is like almost 10 feet tall, standing there with like half his face ripped off.
Yeah, half her face is gone, and all you see is the raw metal and the animatronic eyes looking at you. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing cute about this version of Bonnie now. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna. Well, first I got to get through the first one first, then see if I can work up the nerve and get to play the second one as well. But it should be second quarter 2015, I think,
something like that,
around that time. Yeah, so I got plenty of time to get through one first.
Speaking of trailers, and it really wasn't a trailer; it was just I don't really know what to call whatever that was. Did anybody see that thing from Kingdom Come? I know you posted it on our Facebook page, I believe.
Yeah, I did. It was like Wednesday, I think, or Thursday.
Yeah, it's that's a pretty looking thing. That's pretty looking walk through a village, wasn't it?
It was. I was quite impressed.
It's they're using the Crysis engine, I believe.
I'll look. Okay.
Yeah, the Cry engine, I believe, is what they're using to make the game. It's a medieval RPG. Is really all I've got on it. I backed it when it was on Kickstarter. And the only thing that was on there for Kickstarter, or at least the way that Kickstarter was working, is that you'll get, at the lowest pledge, you get like episode one, or volume one or something like that. It's going to be kind of, I don't necessarily know if it's going to be episodic in nature or if it's going to be like here is part one and here is part two type situation. I don't exactly know the way the whole story is shaping up to be, what it's going to be. This alpha that they released is just basically just a walk. You can walk through the village that they've got set up there. And it's really extraordinary. If you look it up, it's called Kingdom Come. And like I said, it is
the CryEngine.
Yeah, I thought it was. And did it have a release date? I think because that was like an early alpha of just
a test.
Yeah,
that was an alpha trailer, just showing you what they're creating so far.
They've still got a ways to go with that. I know their Kickstarter talked about how combat would be done.
Isn't it an end of next year release?
Yeah, likely. With these things, it's they put it out there and then it gets shifted before it ever sees the light of day. So unsure on when that's going to get out. But definitely if you're interested in something like that, if you just want to see what we're talking about, head over to our Facebook page.
Now, this isn't just on PC, right?
I think it is.
Is it?
Okay. Yes, I believe it is. Okay. I believe it is just PC.
Just because the Link trailer I found was on the PS4 Reddit, and I didn't know why, because I thought it was...
That's interesting. I'll have to look that up. I'll have to go to their Kickstarter and see.
I can look it up.
Okay. Because it'll likely... The Kickstarter should tell you if it's going to be what systems it was going to be for. I thought it was just PC, but I could easily be wrong. They could have changed it since then. I'm not exactly sure, so... Other than that, where you learned that Halo's collectors, whatever, is going to get a day one 20-gig patch in order to negate a second disc.
And Bungie says, like, yeah, it's because we just want to ship one disc.
343.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, 343. Jeez.
That's
wow.
Fine. No, it's fine.
I'm living in the past, aren't I?
Not really. No.
So is Bungie.
Kingdom Come is coming on next gen.
Okay.
It's on their Kickstarter.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I think Halo's going to work out to 65 gigs altogether.
Yeah.
It's just,
is that the biggest patch ever now,
officially? See, that's a... I don't even know how to think about things as patches or updates or content completion anymore. To me, it's all just one big, like, gloopy thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, some of the goop comes on the disc and the rest of the goop comes through the pipes, I guess. I don't really know. I am fortunate enough not to have to worry about that kind of thing. I don't worry about storage space. I don't worry about transfer speeds. I don't worry about data caps. I don't worry about any of that sort of stuff. It doesn't impact me at all. But it is concerning, both as a trend, right, in the future, to where it could impact me or other people that are currently... okay with it, I guess. But, you know, also on behalf of those people who it really does affect, there's a lot of people who just can't do that. Like, they just can't do that. It is prohibitive. It's an enormous amount of data for people that are on data caps. And even people who don't have caps but are in a place where their bandwidth is really extremely limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's prohibitive in terms of time. So
yep, and there's no option here. It's either the 20 gig patch or nothing. There's no, like you said.
Yeah, this is going to be a mandatory thing in order to play the game.
Like how? Wow. I mean, not this. Ship another disc, man. Ship another disc. Just do it. I don't want to hear your crap. Just do it. It's the most basic piece of customer service I can think of. Just ship another disc. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Don't give excuses. Don't try to explain it away. Don't rationalize it. Don't even give me a good answer about it. Just ship another disc. The cost, whatever it is, cannot be that great. I don't know if somebody can dig up and then quote me and deliver what a wholesale cost of a single Blu-ray disc is liable to be for someone in that position. It's immaterial. They should just do it. That's all there is to it. They should not be running from it. They should not be trying to explain it. They should have seen it coming very, very far away. And they should have accommodated what really is a significant number of people who can't or don't want to download that much data just to be able to play a game.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. There's plenty of people who have that issue with... And I'm so glad that we are not there yet.
Where?
Personally, data caps.
Right. It's because we're in such a tragically small market
Yeah.
that the people who normally lay data caps on their customer base. They just don't care. They haven't mm-hmm. noticed us. We're you know, in a small southeastern U.S. market. We're not. I mean, there are like I believe there are soft caps in the contracts of even our.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that outside of even fiber, and this may be the case for a fiber provider as well, there is still soft language in the customer service agreement.
They're like throttling, I guess, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
and they don't have to do it, but they reserve the right. And I know that exists for us. But even then, I have other options.
Mm-hmm.
So do you. I could bring my console here or to my place of employment. And yeah. both of our employers use decent fiber
oh, yeah.
connectivity. But it's not. It's just not. You can't make an honest argument for that. Right? You can't. There just isn't a very good argument. I shouldn't say honest, but you can't make a very good one. You know? Or if you do, you can't come out like sounding like a really good guy about it. Just ship another disc. What? You're Microsoft. Last time everyone checked, you had a little bit of money, right? Well, what you don't have enough of is goodwill.
Right.
You can, it's so weird, you can actually buy goodwill. It amazes me that people can't figure this out. You can buy it with all the money you have by doing simple things like pressing some discs.
Well, I mean, they were able to ship a what turned out to be a completely optional accessory with every Xbox One.
Right.
So, you know, how much was that compared to an extra Blu-ray?
Right.
Now, I was thinking about, who was that guy, Orth, I think his name was, insensitive statement about people who were going through the data caps and had the limited
right.
internet availability.
And all he did, what he kept doing, he kept diving further and further into the corner by trying to make excuses for a decision that was really about nothing but them saving money or nothing but them designing their business around a specific mm-hmm. delivery method. Mm-hmm. This yeah. is one of those things that you can't even put a better face on.
Yeah, I would think they would somehow learn from that a little bit, but
right. and it's
I thought
not,
they would. But
look, it's not going to bring down the empire. It's not going to tremendously affect sales. It's simply one of those things that is, it's not just goodwill. It is a mark of how you behave towards your people, your customers, and they are your people, man. It seems so ridiculous. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't do, like, I don't do plastic discs, man. This is not a thing I do. I'm an almost entirely digital person. And I've argued in favor of it for various reasons. But I've been wrong on many of those counts. Mm-hmm. You honestly can't argue against the fact that whether a patch is required or not, whether the game will be installed completely to your console's hard drive or not. And that is the truth, that it will be completely installed regardless of whether you download it digitally or have a disc. It is a data delivery method that is sound, durable. It doesn't count against limits imposed by your service provider. It's good and necessary for a significant number of the population. Should there be massive policy changes and coupled with incredible infrastructure advancements in the near future, right? Everybody gets fiber, monopolies and duopolies provided by the corporate ownership, particularly in America. Well, I guess expressly in America. I know that other places in the world suffered different problems, but if you could essentially erase all the problems that they use as an excuse for applying data caps or for not rolling out decent internet connectivity to rural and outlying areas or for providing legitimate actual competition in that market, maybe in that point in time, I can argue more reasonably for stuff like that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Go all digital. Get rid of discs. But at the time, I have to be honest, it seems fine until it isn't fine for you. And then you recognize that this actually can be a hard limit. Or as near to one as makes no difference.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my apoplexy for this half hour.
That's good, because this half hour is over with. We're about to go in our next half hour. And when we come back, we'll have the last segment here of In-Game Chat. We'll be back in just a moment. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call, 334-272-9228. We'll be back in just a moment. Here's music from Freelancer. Welcome back to Super Bet In-Game Chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. And
what was that?
That was just me trying to do a stupid joke.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. That is music from Monkey Island. And we got a phone call right now. Let's go right to it. And I believe, I hope I get the name right. I usually don't, but Elise?
Annalise.
Annalise.
Yeah, it's a long one.
Sorry.
I was close.
Yeah.
That's okay.
No, it's, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada.
Canuckistan. We love Canuckistan.
What, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening up there. What is, what's your question? What are you calling for?
Well, I just wanted to let you know, first of all, I tune into your show every time you guys are on. I love your show so much.
Thanks.
What time zone are you in Canada?
Eastern.
All right. So we're gonna be on earlier for you, beginning November 15th. We're gonna be on from 4 until 6 Central Time, which will be 3 to 5 your time.
Okay. Great.
I believe. Yes. Okay. No. That'll be, you're an hour ahead. It'll be 5 to 7 your time.
Math is hard here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you looking at me because I'm an idiot? Are you
looking
at me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because James is giving me a look right now that I can't tell if he's trying to think about what I was saying or if he's just looking at me like,
well, why are you so stupid? Yeah. Like,
next Scott will convert miles to kilometers.
No, he won't do any of that stuff. Well, thanks for listening to the show. What's up?
There were a lot of new gaming releases in October. And my curiosity, out of all these games coming out in October, just wondering what size penis you are.
There we go. Where's that button? There we go. Trolled again.
Yeah.
Been a long time since I've had to use that button. But that's what happens. Actually, really didn't say a bad word. But that conversation was going nowhere.
I
was trying to go somewhere. Oh, anyway. Thanks for calling on that one. Killed a good 5-6 minutes there. That was nice.
Yay.
Yeah. Nobody heard that. That got through. I think that got through on the stream.
It did not get through on the live.
If it went over the airwaves, we'd have been shut down right
now. It did not get over the airwaves. Actually, no. She didn't actually. You could say that over and over again. There's no problem there. But It was just the sense that that phone call was, after that, it's like, no, nah, you've got nothing to contribute.
20 gigs would have been my answer.
You gotta go for the terabytes.
Where do we go from here? What's coming out next week? Sunset Overdrive is coming out next week. Another one of Microsoft's big. Let's try again.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get it. I am completely immune to the apparent magic of that game.
No, I have no.
It looks like fun. It's just not.
That's what I'm saying.
One.
It doesn't look like fun.
Really?
Yes, it doesn't look like fun. No, whichever one works for you. Yes, no, you know what I mean. It doesn't look like fun to me. It looks like spectacle. It looks like a bunch of flashy nonsense. It looks like somebody's idea of what they want you to think fun is. But it looks like a lot of salesmanship to me. It looks like it's something designed to make you feel cool for having it.
Like all about style, pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there isn't any substance there. Let me reiterate, I'm just arguing that I haven't seen it. Maybe there is. Maybe there isn't. I'm not making a declaratory statement. All I'm saying is that what they're selling, what they're putting together,
it's not your thing.
I don't think so. I haven't seen a thing that's my thing in it yet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. Does anybody care?
I've got it in my Gamefly queue. I've got it to rent. You know?
So you don't really care.
Right. No.
Yeah, I mean, I have an Xbox One, so it's like...
Same here.
Can't really care about it.
I'll just watch Let's Plays on YouTube or something or Twitch and just see what happens there.
Yeah.
See where it goes from there.
That's about the same path I'll go down.
Is that the only thing for next week? Or is there something...
There's a few other things, just not a lot. I don't care because next week isn't November 4th, but that's just me because that's when Rebirth finally hits. I'm going to keep driving that into the ground until it releases. Then you'll never see me again because I'll be playing that.
I know. I understand. No, Sunset Overdrive was the only thing that was on my radar as far as the fact of like, hey, what's new coming out next week? It's that. This is the big, you know, push that Microsoft was hoping for. It is an Xbox One exclusive. They have their own. It's got its own system bundle with a white Xbox. A lot like Titanfall did when they did their system bundle. Titanfall got an interesting patch this week.
Oh yeah.
Is this the one with the floors lava horde mode?
Floors lava horde mode, yeah.
All that stuff. That was this week?
I believe it was this
actually
week.
Actually went in?
I think so. I don't know. So you saw how much it drew me back into the game,
right?
It was interesting, though, that it was adding a horde mode. That seems like that would be fun if you had a system that people were still playing Titanfall on or wanted to go back to it on. If that's the case in PC, I'm not seeing it. I did fire up Origin because I thought the patch was there, and I tried to reload, and it didn't. It's like, nah, you're up to date on this game. Everything's fine. I looked at my friends list, and there was nobody on playing anything. Did you find out anything else that was coming out this week, Dennis?
Nothing terribly notable. Yeah. Just a few other games, some licensed titles. But no, nothing... Yeah. Worth getting excited over. Yeah. Sunset Overdrive's pretty much it.
Do you still have Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I start up the PlayStation often, and then I start the game, and it sits there at the screen where it's like just his face, and then it go play like Tron or something.
That's pretty much it. I'll have something to say about that next week, I guess, if I get into it. I'm apparently supposed to be getting into the Evolve Alpha on Xbox One.
Yeah? Mm. Oh, on the One. Okay.
Yeah, well, the 2K sent over, the guys at COG sent over a thing for like, here, you and four other people from your staff can get in on the Xbox One version of the beta. And so I went ahead and like I was like, okay, you know, my chances... I have a chance of getting in on the... I did it for PC, I did it for PS4, and I did it for Xbox One. But with this being like a guarantee to get in, I was like, well, good. I'll get in there so I'll get some time to play it and try it out. But that's coming up on the 28th, I think?
Yeah.
The Evolve Big Alpha, I believe is what it's called. And so I'll put some time into that and see how that's going. I enjoyed the two times I played it at E3 and then at PAX. but I believe that game, it'll be fun for a few rounds and then you'll be done with it. Just doesn't, it's that whole cat and mouse thing. It's like, okay, I'm done. You know, I played as the monster and I did my part, and then I played as the hunters and I did my part. And I can see how this works, this whole mechanic works. Because I'm not going to play with people I don't know.
Yeah, you're not. This is not the sort of thing you're going to compete in at all, you think?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, competition, you know, playing against leaderboard stuff.
I don't know. I'm sure they have leaderboards. I'm not exactly sure how they have leaderboards, but I'm not. It's not one that interests me for the leaderboards.
Okay.
I'm interested to watch them attempt to balance that game.
Yeah.
To keep it balanced, because, you know, there's more than just one monster. There's four or five, I believe.
Okay.
One can fly, one...
I've only known of two right now.
There's been, eventually, I think, it'll be like four or five, something like that. But so then that'll be interesting to see how that works.
And that's a February release. Was supposed to be an October release.
Yeah.
They got pushed
one of many.
Did you ever try out Drive Club?
No.
Was that it? Did that finally get released on PS Plus?
Don't know. I need to look.
Yeah.
They're having a ton of issues with that.
They were. And I don't think it ever made it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
did any of you guys see the new game? Who played Papers, Please?
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah. I did too.
Oh, Lucas Pope's new game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I'm not touching the premium stuff. I don't want to go anywhere near it.
Me either.
I mean, it looks fine. It's great, but he's being very honest about, like, this is just some ideas, kind of thrown together in rough game form. It's very alpha in its accessibility. So.
Oh, Cali Sense says Civilization Beyond Earth came out this week. Came out Friday. I picked that game up. Green Man Gaming had it for like $37.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I grabbed it. And I think they still have it for $37.
What was the normal price?
$50.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say it's good because it's very much like Civ 5, and it's bad because it's very much like Civ 5,
yeah.
that's been the general vibe I've been getting over the internet.
Yeah, I haven't put any time into it, but I've
never played a single one of them.
So, how much like Civ 5 is Alpha Centauri? Is the question I have, because that'll determine whether I'm even interested in Beyond Earth.
I don't. The things I've read is that if you go in looking for Alpha Centauri, you're going to be disappointed.
And then I'll just play Alpha Centauri.
Right. Exactly.
Alpha Centauri still.
Oh, it's so good.
It's still what it is, you know. It's something that hasn't been...
I could just sit there and listen to the dattling sentries all day whenever you get new tech. Just the fun characterization of that and everything.
But that was just one person's opinion that I read of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'd never played Alpha Centauri, so I can't...
I'd be willing to give Beyond Earth a fair shake. I wouldn't be like, oh, what? You're not... Where are my mind worms or anything like that? I'd be like, no, I would take it as its own thing.
I need to set you up on Steam Share. Steam Family Share. I don't even know if you can, well, who knows? You know, we tried it with Shadow, and it doesn't show up on James's list.
Oh, you never got that fix?
No, it still doesn't show up.
Wow.
It's supposed to, though. We did get direct confirmation that, Steam Family Sharing should work with Shadow of Mordor.
I would like to point out, though, that there is more than one type, there is more than one element to the family sharing, right? There is account sharing, which is... being able to share a list of installed games on the same computer, but just with different people logging in, different people using their Steam logins. Then there is being able to share it. There is the authorization of someone else's computer being able to do it. And I found examples of people for whom it worked, but they were playing on the same PC with different accounts. And then there were people for whom it did not work. They were playing on different PCs on their own accounts. So, I feel like that's somehow the catch.
Yeah.
But yeah. Turn my mic off. But yes, I should put you on there so that you can jump into that and try it out.
Yeah, I need to play through Civ 5. I think I have it from one of the various Steam sales. Just
play through it?
Yeah, I haven't touched Civ 5 at all.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure I have it from one of the various Steam sales.
Okay.
But
I wasn't sure how you meant.
Yeah.
Play through it.
Yeah, just like play through a couple of games.
No, I understand. No, I understand when you cleared that up. It was just one of those things where it's like, oh, I haven't finished that game yet.
The last one I played was like 3, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been out of Civilization for a while. been off on Alpha Centauri whenever I want to play a Civilization
I picked
game.
That up on Good Old Games.
Oh, yeah, I got that through there as well.
Had a hell of a time trying to get it to run.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Alpha Centauri.
Oh.
From Good Old Games.
It does have some problems, actually, with certain... Well, I don't know what your problem would be. I can't run it on certain revisions of AMD GPU drivers.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work on certain...
I was able to get it fixed, but it had this stretched... Like, I tried to start it, and all I would get was audio, no screen.
Huh.
And then whenever I got the resolution down, or whenever I did get visual, it was stretched really thin. And I couldn't get beyond how to fix that. Because every other resolution that I was picking, or every other, like, tried in Win XP mode or something like that, would give me no screen at all. Just audio. So.
Speaking of GOG.
Yeah.
We're getting another publisher, at least.
It looked. Did you
saw,
s-
yeah, I saw the thing.
The fonts?
Yeah.
LucasArts. It looks like LucasArts.
Take-Two, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three that were quoted, the three most requested publishers that they still don't have contributing to their catalog?
Mm.
It was Take-Two, LucasArts, and a third. Maybe Microsoft?
Microsoft, I think. Microsoft, Take-Two, LucasArts.
Yeah.
Nathan's on. Okay, Microsoft, Take-Two, and LucasArts.
That's what's popping up.
Well, somebody did some digging into their whatever and found fonts that were very reminiscent of LucasArts titles.
Right. LucasArts has a lot to offer, plus...
Yeah, somebody listed like a whole thing.
Oh, no, it's great. And Disney's been barfing rights out all over the place. I mean, they did that huge dump of stuff over on Steam. So it would be logical to expect that it would be LucasArts.
Yeah.
The question is...
How much?
How much of it? How much of those parts of the catalog? Are we going to see Yoda stories? Nobody? Okay. Trust me. Good stuff. Yoda stories. I'm going to see the X-Wing games? That would be so cool. What a great time to release the X-Wing games. Why, Space Combat making some kind of a comeback, having a little bit of a renaissance.
Yep.
That would be really excellent.
Well, you're already getting Grim Fandango on.
Yeah, that's already happening in places.
Yeah,
That was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I mean that's
already part of another thing.
Yeah, that's a reboot.
But I'm just saying this points to
master.
This seems to point to more evidence of like it being probably LucasArts,
right?
Being the publisher that the Good Old Games gets. Wow, that's a lot of G's. So yeah, that'll be great if it does. That is a huge library of stuff. Matt will be extremely happy when he comes back. When is that going to be announced? Wasn't there a countdown for that?
Is there? I don't know. Maybe the top of the week?
Yeah,
or the
I think
end of the
we were
month
like 2 more days to go, maybe?
2 days, 12 hours, 10 minutes, and 43 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Tuesday, right? I don't know. Who can count?
Yeah, don't look at me.
Not at all.
We're talking about time again. I'm going to screw that one up. All right, so we've got that to look forward to with that announcement, and obviously nothing else next week, and I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
You don't know.
No, I don't.
No, you don't know. Elite Dangerous, beta number 3, Tuesday.
Man, they're getting the betas out there fast.
Well, it's beta 1 to beta 2 was a much longer build time than 2 to 3. They launched beta 2 with the date of beta 3, but the moon right ahead.
What do they use to build that with? Is that a Unity or is that Unreal? What are they?
Oh, I don't.
Is their own thing?
I actually don't know what they're using. To be honest, I think it's their own thing
because
of the nature of what the Elite universe has to be. I mean, you don't just put 400 billion star systems in, you know, like CryEngine.
Yeah, just doesn't automatically happen.
No, doesn't manually happen either.
No,
if Star Citizen is anything to go by.
They're still raking in money for that game.
Right.
And yet, here's Elite Dangerous just doing its little thing.
Doing its little thing.
I'll say, this Star Citizen have a game yet?
Ugh, man. You're trying to light a fire
there.
You're trying to start a war. Because I don't really have anything good to say about it. I'm sure it's fine that it's doing what it's doing. Yeah. But, you know, somebody's just going to point you in the direction of all of these cute modules that both exist. And mostly don't exist and tell you that it's super fantastic. It's going to be amazing. Chris Roberts is awesome.
Is there anything you're looking forward to for next week, Dennis?
Man, not really. I'm 2 weeks out, man. I'm still,
I know you've got
I'm still
your
hitting
eye
Rebirth.
On that.
I need that to come out because I could really use some new Binding of Isaac and see what all surprises they have in store for us.
RJ, anything for you?
No, nothing new releases. I need to get back into two games. I need to get back into is Dark Souls 2 and Ultra Street Fighter because I haven't played that in a while. And I have to finish that DLC that I purchased for Dark Souls 2. I got to finish that
off. What is that thing? Okay, I'm looking at our news thing here. Dark Souls 1 moving from games for Windows Live to Steam?
Yeah, they're migrating over to that because, you know, games for Windows Live is going away or has gone away. I'm not sure anymore.
I've already got it on Steam, though, don't I?
You have it on Steam, but the connectivity is through games for
Windows
Live.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
And this is going to be migrating that over to Steam like Dark Souls 2 is.
Okay.
And there will be a period of time where you can transfer your save files, so they'll still work fine once everything gets transferred over.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about that.
Mm. So somebody did for Dark Souls 1?
Yes, this someone is for Dark Souls 1.
Yeah, someone tried to make a... I think someone's trying to make a first-person view of that.
Yeah, I saw something about first... I thought it was for Dark Souls 2, actually. It was a first-person mod.
I think Dark Souls...
But
Dark Souls, they're trying to make a first-person view for that game. Try to make it harder than normal.
Because it's not difficult enough.
Right.
That tempts RJ, I imagine.
It is Dark Souls 2, by the way.
Okay.
Nathan, anything for you next week?
Just going to be still playing the Warcraft, just messing around with WoW. I won't be playing that until Christmas.
Do you still jump into Destiny at all? Do you still play that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to even play that. I probably tonight I will probably do the weekly Nightfall.
Did you see the update on the Friday's? Wasn't really an update. It was just, you know, every Friday they do so. Yeah, the Iron Banner stuff that they're planning on doing.
I did see that.
What are they doing?
What were all the things? There's a lot of changes that they were going to make. Apparently, they were going to
pull up the list.
Yeah, if you can pull up the list. Apparently, they are going to scale it more in favor of your gear being
the thing they said originally.
Yes, yes.
Long time. They're going to do what they said.
Yeah. They're going to. They're still not going to penalize. I didn't see it, but it doesn't look like they're still going to penalize you for leaving early. But that if you do stay through it, you still get. You get something for staying through it, even though you lose. And that something adds up over time. Hmm. So the more times you lose, the better it kind of gets.
In general, I prefer things like that over punitive.
Yeah.
You know, I prefer positive reinforcement over negative reinforcement in general, assuming it's potent enough.
Yeah, even if you're on the losing side and it's clear, there's still a reason to keep
there's a reason to stick around. And it depends, you know, on what exactly it is, whether it's some kind of cumulative individual buff or whether it's just another reward system or another currency or... something.
Yeah, this says, when you lose, you earn a medallion, and then each time you lose, the medallion gains more reputation, and then once you actually win, you get whatever that medallion's worth. So every time you lose, the medallion grows.
It's banking.
Yeah.
Reputation?
Okay. Apparently, I guess. Yeah. Reputation?
Mm-hmm. For the Iron Banner.
Never mind.
Oh, so that's not a good thing at all. Then.
I don't know.
And it gives you a higher chance.
I don't know. I'm like, you know.
And it gives you a higher chance once you win to get better gear.
And they're doing something with the gear,
too. I'm torn.
The gear will now go up to level 30.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, apparently.
What gear will go to 30?
PvP gear.
PvP? There is no
gear.
The gear you purchase from the vendor.
From the vendor for Iron Banner
stuff.
But
you can... at the end of a match. That
So it could pop up at the end of a match, but it will only be rewarded in PvP during the Iron Banner events. Well, that's still not quite right, but better, I guess. They might have it fixed by about the time everybody stops playing it. Right? Just like Titanfall.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm saying, man, this is why you have to be a little more on the ball with this sort of stuff. You need to be more proactive. And a little bit less reactive, because every time something like this happens, for every perceived problem a game has, more people are going to leave. And you can try to entice them back, but getting somebody back once they've walked out of your environment is really hard. So you really just now, you're shepherding the game for a much more limited audience.
You'll enjoy this one.
Doubt it.
I know, that's why I said it. You'll be able to reforge your weapon with a small number of motes of light within or for every 12 hours to boost reputation gains, and it'll become more potent. It's like a reforge.
Buff your weapon?
Mm-hmm. For the Iron Banner that week.
No, I don't. It's, no. So I said, I don't care what the banner's made of. I don't want to do it. PvP is not in my jam in that game. I don't like it.
And apparently you have to be level 20 or above to get into the Iron Banner now.
Okay.
But
probably to disguise the fact that they really aren't.
Right.
Working at the way this other.
But it gets better. If your fire
Doubt
team
it.
Your fire no no no. It's better in what I'm saying. The fire team leader has to be 20 or above.
Right.
So you can group. If your fire team leader is 20 or above, he can have
I don't even care.
He can have like four other people who
are. It's not good enough to make me want to play. It's not bad enough to be funny. It's just, I don't care. There's too much other stuff. I don't care. That's fine.
I'm not really into the PvP on that anyway.
Yeah.
So that is going to do it. We are done. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. On the stream and on the radio as well. We appreciate it. Also, everybody who gets us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use, we really appreciate it. Head over to InGameChat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at ColonyOfGamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. Do not forget, November 15th, we are going to be on 2 hours earlier. We're going to be on from 4 until 6 Central Time, beginning November the 15th. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday.